This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
The rain isn't here yet, but here come the clouds. We're looking west past Durham. We'll talk about when the rain arrives where you are.
The FBI is warning of potential armed protests at all 50 state capitals this weekend. Coming up, how law enforcement right here in North Carolina is preparing.
And a gun show will go on this weekend in Raleigh, despite concerns over threats of violence ahead of the inauguration. We are live with an explanation of that. Those clouds increasing, rain moving in here as we get set for our weekend. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. It's still sunny in Raleigh, but after a bright morning, it will feel much different this afternoon.
Elizabeth Gardner right now in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at Futurecast.
That's right. It's a little bit hard to believe because it has been so pretty so far this morning. But here's the proof. Here come the clouds. And I'll tell you what, I pulled this camera up about 5 to 7 minutes ago, and the progress of the clouds, I mean, they are just flying. There was still plenty of blue in the sky when I pulled this up just a little while ago. So clouding up in Durham, and those clouds are headed our way. The precipitation has broken up a little bit, a lot of it up into Virginia, and we have this piece that's down to the south starting to get closer to our viewing area, but not quite here. We give it about another hour or so, and I would expect to see rain from the Triangle area westward. As a matter of fact, let's just jump on in and take a look at Futurecast. Here's right now at lunchtime, the clouds continue to stream eastward. The precipitation may be light to start with, but at 2 o'clock, we're seeing rain just to the west of Durham and Raleigh. By 3 o'clock, it's covering the Triangle area. As we head through the afternoon, it continues to spread eastward, and some of it may be heavy at times. Its progress will slow down a little bit. Here's 6 o'clock. And notice the back edge of it doesn't move eastward very quickly. But once we get to 9 or 10 o'clock, it moves past the Triangle area. And by 11 or 12, it has moved completely out of our viewing area. Temperatures have warmed up nicely with some sunshine. So we've climbed into the low to mid 50s. We'll hold it there. And then, of course, we see rain for much of the evening with temperatures dropping through the 40s. That rain shuts off after midnight. We may clear a little bit for tomorrow, but it's still not going to be a very pleasant day. I'll show you why coming up.
I'm Makaya Thurman here in the Live Center. I've been listening in on a live news conference that Nancy Pelosi just wrapped up within the last 60 seconds or so. Some announcements coming out of it. She has appointed a lieutenant to look into what happened at the Capitol during the riot. She says that there was so much danger there for every lawmaker that was in the building. At this point, even federal prosecutors announcing that they believe that there were some rioters that came into the building to capture and assassinate members of Congress. Those are some very strong claims coming in there, and that news just breaking within the hour. So we were listening in to that, and we'll let you know any updates as we have them. Back to you.
This weekend's rehearsal for President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration has been postponed. The decision was made due to security concerns. Instead, it will take place on Monday. Right now, the complex at the Capitol there is locked down, and about 20,000 National Guard troops have been deployed to Washington, D.C. to help with security there. Meantime, law enforcement in Iowa is preparing for another round of possibly violent protests. You can see here that the first floor windows of the courthouse in downtown Des Moines have been covered with plywood, boarded up in response to FBI warnings there. Also in California, Governor Gavin Newsom signed an order that authorizes the deployment of 1,000 National Guard troops to protect critical infrastructure like the state capitol there. A large metal fence now surrounds the building as many prepare for possible civil unrest ahead of Biden's inauguration.
This weekend, there are security concerns from the U.S. Capitol to state capitals across the country. In North Carolina, Governor Cooper has activated the National Guard to help local law enforcement with any problems that may erupt in downtown Raleigh. WRAL's Joe Fisher is live outside the state capitol building with more on the planning underway. Joe.
Renee, good afternoon. And we heard from Governor Cooper earlier this week, who said that even the potential for these protests, unruly protests or riots, need to be taken seriously. Here at our Capitol building, we do expect to see some of those National Guard members starting this weekend. The governor activating 350 members to support local law enforcement. We also know that Raleigh Police, the Wake County Sheriff's Office, State Highway Patrol, all of those agencies are are coordinating right now a unified response just to make sure that they are in place in the event anything gets out of control. There's also a flyer circulating on social media about the potential for armed protests at U.S. capitals in all 50 states. While protesting itself is really no problem, it is important to know that here in North Carolina, weapons are not allowed at a protest. That is against the law. Eric Hooks, the secretary of the Department of Public Safety, was not able to do an interview this morning, not willing to go on camera to talk about exactly their exact plans for this weekend, but did release a statement saying to be assured that DPS remains extremely vigilant in its public safety efforts. Our law enforcement entities are engaged with local, state, and federal partners to identify and address a myriad of public safety threats. We continue to seek and share information concerning any potential threats to our critical infrastructure, residents, and visitors. Back out here live at the Capitol, I did ask DPS today if there are any specific threats to our North Carolina Capitol building. They would not say. Renee?
Joe Fisher, live in Raleigh. Joe, thanks.
Meantime, we do know our local law enforcement is already on alert for protests here after the attack on the Capitol last week. At the same time, there's a gun show that'll be held this weekend at the state fairgrounds. The Wake County Sheriff says that concerns him. WRL's Adam Owens is at the fairgrounds with what the sheriff has to say about this, Adam.
Yeah, Jeff, it is the timing of those two things that really have him concerned. The first, of course, local law enforcement across the country have been told to be on alert for the possibility of armed protest at local state capitals, including the one here in Raleigh. At the same time, across the street from me here at the Jim Graham building at the state fairgrounds, you can see the signs are up promoting the Dixie Gun and Knife Show. They're preparing for that, just as law enforcement are preparing for possible protest as well. This gun show starts tomorrow and runs through Sunday. That has the Wake County Sheriff concerned. The FBI, again, is warning local law enforcement across the country to be alert for those possible armed protests. I talked with a spokesperson with the Wake County Sheriff's Office. They tell me they are stepping up their staffing and taking other similar measures to what they did during riots over the summer, where demonstrators took over the streets, damaging and looting buildings. Sheriff Gerald Baker says the gun show here at the fairgrounds adds to his concern at this delicate time.
We've got a gun show in town. Of all things, this weekend we've got a gun show. So that doesn't sit very well with me right now. Not that fact that it's here, but the timing could be a little bit better.
I reached out to the organizers of this Dixie Gun and Knife Show. They declined to comment. Back to you.
Adam Owens live this noon at the State Fairgrounds. Thank you, Adam.
I'm Micaiah Thurman here in the Live Center. We just got an update from the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services on the state's coronavirus numbers. Take a look at this. We have 8,914 newly reported cases. This is not a record. Also, we've got 3,916 people currently hospitalized. But what I want to draw your attention to is the number of deaths. We have reported 108 new deaths. This is the third day this week that it has been over 100. Certainly something that we don't want to see. And finally, the percent of positive cases at 11.2. Back to you.
Micaiah, thanks. Moderna is offering a third dose of its coronavirus vaccine to people who participated in the company's clinical trials. That story tops our coronavirus developments. In clinical trials, the vaccines were given in two doses and were found to be 94.5% effective at preventing the illness. Researchers want to know if additional boosters are needed and how they can be safely administered. A new study from the University of Southern California and Princeton University suggests the COVID-19 pandemic has reduced U.S. life expectancy, especially among Black and Latino populations. Phone lines are now open for appointments for a vaccine clinic set to open next week in Durham. The number to call is 919-560-4357. The Durham County Health Department has announced plans to open a mass vaccination site at Southern High School. This effort is in partnership with Duke Health. The logistics of how it will operate are being ironed out now. It will be open Tuesday through Friday from 3 to 8 p.m. Again, the number to call to make an appointment is 919-560-4357.
Roughly twice as many women as men are getting vaccinated for COVID-19. That's according to new analysis from CNN. The percentage of men was less than 40% in every state surveyed. Experts say this may reflect who has been eligible early in the vaccine rollout, healthcare workers and older adults. New Jersey is shortening the wait for smokers to get their vaccines. The state expanded its vaccine program to include anyone over 65 plus anyone with underlying health conditions. The health department says that includes smokers since the habit puts them at strong risk for a tough fight with the virus.
The observances celebrating the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. are underway. The annual wreath laying at the MLK Memorial Gardens in Raleigh took place this morning. WRL's Ken Smith joins us with the message behind this year's celebration. Ken.
Renee, that wreath laying ceremony is always a somber moment at the MLK Memorial Gardens in Raleigh. We want to show you the moment when this ceremony started this morning. The wreath was placed right next to the statue of Dr. King. A small group of clergy, community, and civic leaders attended that ceremony. The group was smaller this year because of the pandemic, but the message behind this year's celebration was no less powerful. Dr. Dumas Hershaw talked about this during our 9 a.m. newscast on Fox 50.
We focus this year on overcoming chaos with the radical action of love. And Dr. King understood love in a radical sense where you would recognize the personality and the worth and the dignity of other human beings, even those you disagree with or you're struggling against, and do it in a nonviolent fashion.
Well, Dr. Hershaw went on to say, with the incidents that happened at the U.S. Capitol still fresh in our memory, Dr. King's message of nonviolence rings through even louder. He says we can live Dr. King's legacy by embracing our differences and engaging each other for the common good. Renee.
Ken Smith reporting. Thanks. And a reminder of this annual tradition, you can watch the Interfaith Prayer Breakfast online at WRL.com on Monday starting at 7 a.m. WRL's Gerald Owens will serve as the MC. The keynote speaker is the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Bishop Michael Curry. If you miss it, the program will air again on Fox 50 at noon. Our parent company, Capital Broadcasting, is a proud sponsor.
Ending the work week with a big stock sell-off, and you can see the effects it is having right here. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down more than 150 points. NASDAQ is down nearly 80 right now. It'll be a long weekend as well, off for MLK Junior Day on Monday.
Next at noon, it is calm in Kenosha. Why the Wisconsin city is getting praised for opening boarded-up businesses.
And a terrible bus accident in New York City. How it ended up here and how many people were hurt.
Plus at 12:30, Gilbert Bays joins us with a live report on COVID-19 vaccine rollouts in Cumberland County.
You're watching WRAL News, now streaming free. Download and watch live on your favorite devices today.
Micaiah Thurman here in the Live Center. We are following breaking news this afternoon that Operation Warp Speed, the moniker that we've gotten to know as it relates to coronavirus headlines, will be retired with the Biden administration. This is all new information. A Biden administration official saying that they will come up with a different name that will end up working for them, but Operation Warp Speed will be no more. Back to you.
We are learning more about what one of the rioters planned to do after he stormed the Capitol building last week. Prosecutors say a former Air Force reservist was wearing body armor and carrying white flex cuffs on the U.S. Senate floor with the intention to possibly restrain lawmakers. A judge released him on house arrest with a monitoring device. In a newspaper interview, the suspect claims he picked the restraint up off the ground and intended to give them back to a police officer. Leaders in Kenosha, Wisconsin, believe their community is beginning to heal after the Jacob Blake shooting. Businesses across the city are starting to take down their boards. The wooden slabs went up last week after the district attorney decided not to charge the officers with Blake's shooting. Some were concerned about violence, but it never materialized, and the mayor praised protest organizers.
They did everything the right way. They have every right to be out there, and it's our responsibility to make sure they're safe. And we made sure that we were there, worked with the leaders to make sure that they did not have problems with their protests, and worked with them all the way through the process. And I can only say good things about the groups and how they reacted with the police and how they reacted with the community.
Kenosha is still breaking for possible unrest. 18-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse is expected to stand trial in March for fatally shooting two people this summer during a protest in response to the Blake shooting. The mayor says he's confident the city will be able to maintain peace throughout the hearings.
Rescuers in Indonesia pulled a survivor out from the rubble of a collapsed hospital building today after a powerful earthquake. The 6.2 magnitude quake killed at least 35 people and injured hundreds. Authorities warned of more earthquakes that could trigger a tsunami. The country's disaster agency said about 15,000 people have left their homes since the quake, with the pandemic likely to complicate aid distribution. Here in the U.S., teams are searching for a missing Oregon woman believed to have been swept up in a landslide. Officials say the 50-year-old was on the phone with her husband trying to navigate the area when the landslide hit. Crews say they've located the area where they believe her car is buried under an estimated 15 feet of mud and debris. Geologists have warned another landslide could be coming.
Multiple people were injured early this morning after a bus veered off an overpass in New York City. Officials say at least 8 people were injured in this accident. Police say the bus driver was unable to navigate the roadway and went off the road. No other vehicles were involved in the incident. So far, no arrests have been made. A large sinkhole near Tampa makes a dangerous comeback. This massive crater is located on private property next to a restaurant and housing community. It originally formed in October and was labeled as the Depression. Crews filled in that hole just last week, but it took just 4 days for it to open up again. The community has not issued any evacuations at this time. Still trying to figure it out. Well, you could be forgiven checking things outside right now if you were caught off guard this afternoon by what's coming our way. Elizabeth Gardner here, though, to make sure we don't get caught off guard.
Exactly. No excuses now because you're watching. Boy, you look out the window, and for most of us, it just looks bright and sunny and beautiful. And that is not the way it's going to be for the rest of the afternoon. Look at all of the rain from Columbia to Charlotte. That whole band of rain is going to be moving right into our area. Most of us will be seeing rain by 3 to 4 o'clock this afternoon, and it will last until 9 or 10 o'clock in some places and up until 11 or 12 in others. Here's a look at dual Doppler 5000 a little bit closer in. None of our counties yet seeing it, but we're likely to start seeing that in Moore County as well as Chatham County, Lee County real soon, probably in the next 30 minutes or so, probably by the end of our newscast. Some folks in our viewing area will start to see some of this rain. Again, Ashboro, Troy seeing it, but it won't be too long before we see it in Carthage, Whispering Pines, over into Siler City and Pittsburgh. Take a look at our satellite. You can see just how fast these clouds are moving. I was watching it on some of our cameras earlier. But these clouds are flying in, so this is a fast-moving system. But it looks like it slows down and sits over us for a good bit of the evening. Here's a look from our tower in southeastern Wake County looking west. And so you can see, again, a lot of cloud cover as we look off to the west as those clouds are approaching. Here's a look at where the system is now. The cold front starting to move, again, through, say, Charlotte and Winston-Salem, Greensboro. And look at the low that's associated with it. This has produced a lot of snow for some parts of the upper Midwest. There's been a blizzard warning in effect there. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. Here's future cast for us. Again, continuing to see a lot of cloud cover by 2 o'clock. We're seeing some showers in the Sandhills by 3 and 4 o'clock. We're seeing that rain spreading across the entire viewing area. It is likely to be a wet commute for everybody. And then that rain just hangs out here. Here's 9 o'clock in the evening. By the time we get to 11 or 12, it has shifted offshore. Likely to wake up to a good bit of low cloud cover tomorrow morning, and then a second disturbance rolls through. Not nearly as wet as this one, but it is going to continue to bring some windy conditions to us and a slight chance of a shower. Quick little shower, quick little flurry for Saturday afternoon. Today, when the front comes through, the winds will pick up. This is a look at our steady winds. It'll be 10 to 15 coming out of the south and gusting 20 to 25. And then overnight, once the front moves by, the winds die down a little bit. Winds will be fairly calm first thing in the morning Saturday, but watch how the winds build as that system moves on through. We're going to see winds steady anywhere from 10, 15, almost 20 miles per hour, but gusting 20 to 25, maybe even close to 30 Saturday afternoon. That's going to make it feel very unpleasant to be outside. Our temperatures this afternoon will hold in the low to mid 50s, but Saturday our high will be 48. So with the wind howling out there, it is just not going to be a whole lot of fun to be outside. Sunday and Monday will be equally cool with highs near 50, but we won't see as much wind. Thanks, Elizabeth. As North Carolina expands who can get vaccinated, some people in the first phase may be getting left behind. This afternoon on WRAL, Sarah Kruger speaks with a woman living in a nursing home who could have avoided the disease if she'd just been vaccinated a few weeks sooner.
Then at 6, another round of stimulus checks and an effort to roll back poverty. Will President-elect Biden's economic plan work for North Carolina? Experts weigh in. A big tip comes at just the right time for one bartender. After the break, why the customer says he decided to leave the wad of cash.
Plus, the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas is attracting all sorts of pandemic products. How a so-called bio button could let you know if you have COVID-19.
The most experienced team of meteorologists. Weather coverage you can count on.
Sunshine still hanging in over Dix Park as we look down at the Raleigh skyline right there, but there is rain on the way for our viewing area. Keep it tuned. You're not going to believe this. It's been 12 years since the famous rescue now known as the Miracle on Hudson. A U.S. Airways flight struck a bird shortly after taking off from New York's LaGuardia Airport, and Captain Sully Sullenberger landed that plane in New York's Hudson River. All 155 passengers and crew members on board were rescued. That makes it the most successful marine rescue in aviation history.
Who doesn't love a great story about a generous donation that comes at just the right time? Mary Saladna shares the story of the mystery customer who left a huge tip at a Boston bar.
One of the most mind-blowing things that's happened to me in 10 years of doing this.
Bartender Connor Gallivan got a New Year's surprise last night when a customer left him an envelope of cash as a tip. A lot of cash.
You know, I was trying to figure out for a second whether that was what was intended. And then obviously, you know, you realize, you know, he left $2,021 for 2021. It was pretty clear symbolism. I basically got a month's worth of rent in a tip.
The Corner Tavern was one of six local bars where the mystery tipper dropped some big money last night. Tonight, we tracked him down.
My mission that night was to support the local bars.
Ernie Bach Jr. is known for his cars and his philanthropy.
I usually cook. I don't get takeout that often, but when I do, I can just see the problems that are there. And I encourage anybody that can do it, please support the industry.
Tonight, Bach dropped another surprise, this time in a phone call, $1 million to a restaurant fund set up to help small businesses.
In 1938, my grandfather started the business with a gas station.
Back at the Corner Tavern, Connor says he'll use his tip to pay his bills and pay down the debt he's incurred just trying to stay afloat.
It gives you hope that, you know, we're turning the corner and that, you know, we're kind of on the back nine of this and hopefully we can get back to normal soon.
There are still good, generous people out there. Well, long lines greeted anxious residents seeking the COVID-19 vaccine. Coming up.
Yeah, and I'm one of the people that are in the long lines here at the Cape Fair Crown Coliseum. You're going to check out my report coming up, and I'll tell you while I'm in this line.
Also, is it legal for your employer to require you to get the COVID-19 vaccine? The answer when the news continues. Plus, winning lottery numbers here on your screen. Carolina pick 3, 432, pick 4, 3623. Carolina cash 5, 713, 17, 29, 37.
This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
Cumberland County continues to expand its COVID-19 vaccine clinic. Cars have been lined up all morning with folks waiting to get one of the 800 shots the health department plans on giving if you're 65 years of age or older. Believe it or not, WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays qualifies to get this shot. Gilbert, I want to see your ID. I do not believe this.
Well, you know, if you don't believe it, then ask one of my 8 grandkids that Papa is over 65. I'll be 66 in a few months, and I thank God for having good health right now. And I also thank God for being in this line here. Photojournalist Mike Joyner was here, and we just got my number. I am 642. I moved up a couple for some particular reason, but that's fine. And I want to show you the cars out here. I've been in my car most of the day, and I bet you I've only moved maybe about 50 feet since I've been in here from back there And then the car is stretched around here, and you can see them, they're over there. But I want to show you that all these cars, all these lanes here were filled with cars earlier this morning. Now, we have some footage from Sky 5. They were here earlier, and they have the look at what the parking lot looked like earlier today. Now, these cars did start lining up about 6 this morning. And as you mentioned, Health Department, they're planning on giving it at least 800 shots, maybe more, depending on the demand. This is a massive operation. The volunteers from the Air Civil Patrol are out here, and other parts of Cumberland County giving some assistance. Now, this is a national vaccine, so you don't have to be from Cumberland County in order to get the shot. And I spoke with one couple that traveled from Holden Beach to receive the vaccine. Health Director Jennifer Green talked with me. She says the lines are moving faster today because they have 4 lanes instead of 2 to administer the shots.
We have the dose cards on each car, but we are moving much faster. The wait time is shorter today than it was yesterday. Once a car comes into the building, then we are able to get them in and out in 5 to 7 minutes, if that.
So Dr. Green says the other thing that's really helping speed things up here is the fact that when you get inside, they've got 30 nurses administering that shot. So they have the medical personnel also on hand to make sure they monitor folks just to make sure they don't have an allergic reaction. So that's what you got to do. You have to wait another 15, I guess about 30 minutes, you know, after you get your shot. Folks, I'm going to get back in my car and sit down here. You know, I'm normally ripping and running. The old guy gets to sit in the car today and just sit here and do stories. I'm going to have a live report coming up at 4 o'clock, and I'll do a Facebook Live on WRL's Facebook page just to give you an idea of what my progress is. And I started my timer when I got here. I have been here 2 hours and 48 minutes and 40 seconds so far. That's really not that long a time to invest in getting this shot, especially at my age, Renee.
Gilbert, we will live vicariously through you as you move through the line there. The ageless Fayetteville reporter, Gilbert Bays. Thanks, Gilbert.
Well, check this out. If you're in Wake County and interested in getting the vaccine, you will have an opportunity to sign up on the waiting list if you're 65 or older starting next week. This is just into our newsroom within the last 15 minutes. Check out the Wake County website. They are creating a hotline and a wait list that will launch on Tuesday. And the hotline is really critical because it'll be available all day. And you'll be able to call in, let them know whether you qualify, whether you're a healthcare worker or 65. And older. And once you're on that wait list, you will ultimately be notified. So that way you can one day be like Gilbert and actually get in line for the vaccine. Back to you.
The vaccine rollout in Halifax County will pick back up next week. The health department says it's working on new clinics. This is what it looked like last week from Sky 5 when they were overwhelmed with people looking to get the shot.
In an effort to speed up the slow U.S. vaccine rollout, pharmacy technicians are being trained to get more COVID-19 shots into arms. So far, more than 30 million coronavirus vaccine doses have been distributed, but only a little more than 11 million of the doses have been administered. That's according to the CDC. And up until October, most states wouldn't let those pharmacy techs administer the vaccinations. The Carolina Panthers, Bank of America Stadium, and Charlotte Motor Speedway will soon transform into mass vaccination sites. The state hopes this effort will help meet the goal of vaccinating 1 million people in the Charlotte area by the 4th of July. Another mass vaccination site is planned for the Winston-Salem area. Right now on WRL.com, you can find a growing county-by-county list of vaccine sites and events. See what counties require you to register in advance and stay on top of any updates on who is eligible in each county. You can also find all this information in your WRL News app.
An unprecedented level of security surrounds the U.S. Capitol to prevent another attack like last week. It's an effort we're seeing at the federal, state, and local level all across the country. Tom Costello reports from Capitol Hill.
Yeah, good day from Capitol Hill. So what you see behind me is one of the inner rings of security around the Capitol building. National Guard trucks and troops, 21,000 of them, now expected by Inauguration Day, and they have their semi-automatic weapons. Their M4s are at the ready. And then the further out you go, ring upon ring of police officers blocking roads all the way around D.C. It is virtually impossible to drive into D.C. right now. The city is very much in complete lockdown. It's like an armed camp, and we are seeing cities across the country ramping up similar levels of security out of concern that there may be more attacks in the offing. The FBI warning of multiple right-wing extremists and white supremacists vowing that they will stage more attacks over the coming days and weeks. So states across the country encouraged to ramp it up, if you will. One more note from D.C., and that is you may recall that scene of the African-American Capitol Police officer luring the attackers away from a door which would have led to the Senate chambers. Well, now there is bipartisan support in Congress to award him the Congressional Gold Medal, the highest civilian award possible for his heroism. Chances are many officers will be also offered that award because of the valor they demonstrated as they were under attack in this all-out assault on democracy last week. I'm Tom Costello on Capitol Hill. Back to you.
We now know who will perform at Joe Biden's presidential inauguration. Pop icon Lady Gaga will sing the national anthem at the 59th inauguration. Lady Gaga previously campaigned for Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris throughout Pennsylvania leading up to the election. And Jennifer Lopez will perform a tribute to the nation's new leaders. We've also learned that Father Leo O'Donovan will give the invocation. The priest delivered prayers during the inaugurations for Presidents Richard Nixon, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush. Some people are hesitant about getting the COVID vaccine. How several employers are encouraging their workers to get the shot by offering extra cash.
And as the saying goes, necessity is the mother of invention. We'll show you some of the newest inventions that were created because of the pandemic. Details on the impact of coronavirus here in North Carolina are changing every day. A new podcast episode drops today. Download the Coronavirus North Carolina News Brief wherever you get your podcasts.
Many people are debating whether or not to get a COVID-19 vaccine, but will everyone have a choice in the matter? Some companies are requiring their employees to get the shot before returning to work. As Ashley Strohmeyer reports, this is completely legal. With vaccinations across the country well underway, you might be wondering if your employer can require you to get a vaccine. The answer from the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is yes, with a few exceptions for religious or medical reasons. While companies can legally mandate vaccinations, most are only encouraging them, and some are offering financial incentives.
I'll happily pay for all staff members to have it done and be paid and have it done in their work time.
Dollar General will reward its employees with 4 hours of pay for getting the vaccine. And Trader Joe's will offer 2 hours of pay per dose. One mayor in Georgia is even handing out $200 gift cards to any city employee who gets their injection in a timely manner.
We want to make sure everybody has a sense of urgency to get the vaccine. That's why we came up with the $200 gift card so that we, when the time comes and our employees are able to receive that vaccine, that they'll hurry right out.
One worker says that $200 will probably change his mind.
You have your doubts, but when the city offers its employees $200, that's a great incentive.
But not everyone is on board just yet.
I'm going to wait to see what happens.
That was Ashley Strohmeyer reporting. Turns out many people actually wouldn't mind getting a shot before returning to work. A LinkedIn survey found 46% of employees actually agree with companies mandating vaccines.
There's a hospital in California that's paying workers to get the COVID-19 vaccine. This hospital says only 40% of employees initially signed up for the shot. To increase participation, the hospital decided to offer a $300 incentive to workers. They get the money after they show documentation that they got the second dose of the vaccine. Hospital officials say they got the idea from a Texas hospital that is also encouraging workers to get vaccinated with cash incentives.
I think, you know, you're putting a value on someone's safety. People's lives are at stake.
What about those people who say bribing is not the way to do it?
We don't look at it as bribing. We look at it as a more of a carrot, a positive incentive.
Yeah, the hospital says it has only been offering the cash incentive for a week, but it's working already. More people have signed up for the vaccine.
Tech companies rolled out their pandemic-friendly gadgets at this year's Consumer Electronics Show. From doorbells you don't touch to Ring to high-tech face masks, it's technology for our pandemic world. Next at noon.
And an FDA-approved gadget that lets you know if you have coronavirus before you feel sick. That's still ahead. Southern Pines might be one of the first in our viewing area to get some of those raindrops coming in a little later this afternoon. Keep an eye out. Tons of new products were unveiled this week at the Virtual Consumer Electronics Show. Many of them were catered to our new pandemic world. Liz McLaughlin shows us some of the highlights.
Face mask fashion is getting a high-tech upgrade with Razer's Project Hazel.
It's cool to wear. It's super social. It's super safe.
This clear N95 mask prototype has lights and a built-in speaker to prevent muffled conversations.
In order to move forward, we have to adapt to our surroundings.
Another for enhanced communication, the mask phone, which is exactly what it sounds like.
You have a microphone inside the mask, so you can be easily heard on a conference call.
AirPop is launching its Active Plus mask this month with a sensor that tracks breathing and air quality. Or grab a purse-sized air purifier such as the Luft Duo.
LG has some products too. They have mini air purifiers. So if you're concerned about just your environment at home and you want to bring one from room to room, there are much smaller solutions available than there have been.
In addition to gadgets that purify and sanitize, more companies are integrating touchless features into everyday devices. This new Kohler toilet has hands-free flushing. And this no-ring doorbell from Alarm.com works with a weight-sensing doormat. There's even the Eddy doorbell that reads temperature.
It would be good for either high-traffic environments or even just on a personal use.
New products shaping a COVID-conscious era of technology. Liz McLaughlin, NBC News.
Another new cool gadget introduced at the Consumer Electronics Show could help warn you about COVID-19. The company called BioIntelliSense introduced this bio button. It's cleared by the FDA. It's about the size of a silver dollar. It sticks to your upper chest to constantly track your skin temperature, heart rate, and other vital signs. Once the bio button collects enough data, it can identify, or help to anyway, if you have symptoms of a possible coronavirus infection, even if you don't notice that you're sick.
The space exploration company of Jeff Bezos, Blue Origin, is one step closer to human flight. Yesterday, the company completed its 14th unmanned mission to space and back for the New Shepard program. Blue Origin's goal for its reusable New Shepard rockets is to one day carry people into space. Thursday's mission carried a six-seat crew capsule and a life-size human dummy named Mannequin Skywalker. The purpose of the mission was to test new technologies installed on the rocket. Meanwhile, NASA says its Orion spacecraft is ready for its mission to the moon. Orion is slated to launch for three different missions this year. The Artemis 1 mission will be the first to go into space, and the Orion capsule will fly out, orbit the moon, and then return to Earth. That mission is slated to take 3 weeks, and there won't be a crew. The next mission, Artemis 2, will be the first with a crew on board to orbit the moon. And then the third, Artemis 3, will see the first woman and the next man to walk on the moon. So it's going to be a big year for NASA. Lots to look forward to. Well, we are watching the rain moving into the viewing area. Elizabeth Gardner, when are we going to start to see it into our area? Oh, it is so close. It's knocking on our doorstep, and it certainly has made a little bit of forward progress since we checked in about half an hour ago. So the first folks to see it are going to be down here in Amora County and Hope County, and then Chatham County, Lee County, Cumberland County, and it will just continue to spread on up into the triangle. Once it gets to where you are, expect it to be around for a few hours, but totals here are not going to be impressive. We're looking at maybe a quarter of an inch to a half an inch at the very most, but starting to see some of these light showers in Carthage right now and stretching on up into Chatham County. So give it another hour to 2 hours and a lot of us will be seeing that rain. So Southern Pines is going to be one of the first places to see it. These folks out here on the golf course, I guess, Jeff, they're not going to get wet, right?
No chance.
It's a golf course. Yeah, we'll see about that. But yeah, they're not too worried about it. It doesn't look like over there at Longleaf Golf and Family Club. But here's what the radar is showing. This is is a look at Futurecast. And by the time we get to 2 o'clock, the sand hills are covered in green there. We'll move it on ahead, on out to the middle of the afternoon. There's 3 o'clock. And by the time we get to 3 o'clock around the triangle, we should be seeing that rain. And then it continues to spread eastward. And during the evening commute, the entire viewing area looks wet. By 7 o'clock, we're starting to see the rain ending in the sand hills. It hangs around the triangle until 9 or 10. And then by 11 or 12, it is completely out of the viewing area. Now, we might clear out a little bit overnight, but most likely we'll see low clouds developing early Saturday morning and some fog. And then we have that second disturbance that swings through. This is going to bring some snow to the mountains. This is a huge ski weekend. This weekend, and of course, President's Weekend, two of the busiest weekends that they see up at the ski resorts. Conditions are great. People are going to be thrilled, most likely. It's going to be a little blustery up there on Saturday. We're going to see some breezy conditions, too, making it a little uncomfortable to be outside around here. Quick little shower or flurry. But they could see, you know, up to 2 inches of snowfall up into the mountains, and they've been making plenty of snow. So I think they are all ready to go. Take a look at Sugar Mountain already here on Friday. The snow is falling there. I don't know how well you can see it, but you can see it picked up right here in front of the trees, and plenty of people out there enjoying it. The forecast for tomorrow around Banner Elk, which is going to be Sugar Mountain, Beach Mountain, and Appalachian, likely to be in the upper 20s, with snow showers on and off during the day, 32 Sunday and 29 on Monday, with just some light snow showers, not as much accumulation as they'll see on Saturday, which will be maybe a couple of inches. Heading up to Snowshoe, looking at colder highs in the low to mid 20s and a good chance of snow on Saturday, and then some lighter amounts again for Sunday and Monday. Keep in mind, if you're planning to head up there tonight or early tomorrow morning, there may be some slick roads in the North Carolina mountains. Around here, mostly cloudy for tomorrow, 48 degrees. Sunday and Monday, highs near 50. It does stay dry for us after tonight. Our next best chance of rain after that is Thursday.
Micaiah Thurman here in the Live Center. We have just confirmed within the last 5 minutes some major breaking news. Wake County will shut down all county-owned buildings downtown through Wednesday of next week. Again, this is for next week due to the potential for possible protests connected to the inauguration. This has been confirmed by county leaders. Employees asked to work from home during that time. But again, county-owned buildings next week will be closed Tuesday and Wednesday. They were already closed for MLK Day on Monday. Back to you. Micaiah Thurman here in the Live Center. We've just learned from Johns Hopkins University that over 2 million people have died worldwide due to the coronavirus. This is something that was breaking just within the last 60 seconds. Back to you.
The WREL Voters' Choice Awards crowned more than 100 new winners last night. This year's event streamed online and was hosted by our Kat Campbell and Micaiah Thurman. To check out the list of winners, head over to WREL.com and search Voters' Choice Awards. YouTube is testing a way to buy items that are used or mentioned on your favorite channels. If you click on a shopping bag icon at the bottom of the screen, YouTube will display a list of the featured items. You'll be able to get more information, watch related videos, or even buy the products. Creators have previously been able to sell merchandise through a shopping hub on their channels. This new feature could be a way for both them and YouTube to generate more revenue.
Well, if you like cuddling with kittens but you're allergic to their fur, a company from Japan might have the thing for you. It's called a Kubo. It was unveiled at the Virtual Consumer Electronics Show. It's a furry robotic cat, but without a head or legs. It runs on a rechargeable battery. It comes in a variety of colors. The price tag's $150, but it's spayed and neutered, ready to go. Portable-sized robot companion is designed to be calming.
Well, our pet of the day comes from the SPCA of Wake County. Meet Helmet. This 1.5-year-old neutered male is a snowshoe mix. Helmet was adopted from us in July and was recently returned due to no fault of his own. He absolutely loves cardboard boxes. His owner said he'll climb into them or use them as scratchers. He likes other cats, has lived with a small dog, and likes children. His adoption fee is $45, which includes a neuter, microchip, and vaccines, preventatives as well. Contact the SPCA of Wake County if you'd like to adopt Helmet.
Busy week coming to a close. You made it. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Noon News.
Have a great weekend, everybody.